Steve Salmon not only whistles, but he's a wonderful writer of children's books, and he does just a great job. Please welcome Steve Salmon.
Okay. Sure. Okay. This is another story. Can you hear me? Can you hear this okay? Should I be? Is that good?
Oh, yeah.
That's good? Okay. Like this? Okay. All right. This is another one of my books that's going to be illustrated. Some of them are, this one's not yet, is sketches. So I just have to tell you, it takes place in a trash barrel in an office that has art going on inside this office business situation. So there are things in the trash that you would find in any office, plus some artist things. All the characters are trash. I can't see my own words here. There. He assumed he had hit bottom. Oh, it's A Barrel of Laughs, I should say. That's the name of it. He assumed he had hit bottom and felt so helpless and defeated that he just lay where he landed. Nowhere to go, no ideas, no way out. Then a sticky candy bar wrapper popped up beside him and said, "Welcome." He just sighed and said, "To what?" I know, but you've got to look at it this way. The only way things can go now is up. My name is Sweets. What's yours? Me? Well, I used to be a full tube of artist's paint, but now you might just as well call me Flats. Well, Flats, maybe it will cheer you up if I introduce you to some of the others who have been dropping in. There are the twins, Sue and Ugar. They arrived shortly after the sun's in the sky lit up. Then the coffee stirrers joined us. They got into some hot water just before landing, but we aren't holding that against them. And what about them over there, said Flats. They used to really stack up, said Sweet, smooth, blank, and ready for work. Now all printed on and wadded up. They're kind of like alphabet snowballs. The real problem is that if you ask them something, it's so jumbled up, you can't understand a word they're saying. So what do you do? I just nod my head a lot and hope I didn't just agree to let them lick the chocolate off of me. If you're still feeling stressed, this guy, the masseur, is the one to see. He'll give you a rubdown so good that it'll erase even the memory of what ails you, at least for a while. Sounds too much like the squeezing I got that got me in here, but thanks anyway, said Flats. This guy, Picky, the toothpick, has only one thing on his mind, his big moment when he showed a stubborn popcorn husk who was boss and sent him flying. I can see how that could get old. Yeah, but they do say that in a tight situation, he's the one you want. That tissue next to the tape dispenser, what's her story, asked Flats. It turns out that Tissy went through a tough breakup before getting tossed and is still full of tears. We've tried to tell her that it's time to move on, but she cries at the drop of, well, every time another character drops into this canyon, she cries. He looks familiar, noticed Flats. That's Link, the penny, said Sweets. He is all the time telling anyone who will listen that he doesn't belong in here. But we all saw him drop in late one night, with a bunch of crumbs, some peanut shells, and that cigarette butt with lipstick on it. He says he was just hanging out, minding his own business, when he got swept up with some dirty characters. But there are two sides to him, so who knows what to think. Is there anyone else from the art department in here? Well, said Sweets, we do have one piece of artwork that we can all relate to. We call him Jackson Polkadot. Hey, Flats noticed, some of those spots look familiar. That snooty art store receipt insists that it's just a paint rag, but all she really knows about art is what's printed on her back. Pointy the pencil, as you can see, is at the point where his eraser is worn off and his tip has been dulled for the last time. Now he's just a stub lying in his own shavings. Yet deep down, he still has some of his best writing left inside. I realize you were a quick snack, said Flats, but that guy looks like he was lunch. That's Krusty, explained Sweets. He was a few bites too many, so down he came. I guess you never know when your number is up when you're a slice of pizza. What's her problem, Flats asked. She's Tootie, the to-do list. Willie, the wet tea bag, landed on her and smudged a couple of things, so now she can't figure out what she hasn't completed. I told her the next thing on her list should be relax. But she said that would never be on a to-do list. This one looks just about the same, Flats noticed. Yep, Phyllis has her own dilemma. Her whole purpose was to carry around that phone number, and since there's no phone down here, she feels useless. Steer clear of Junkie the junk mail. He's always trying to sell everybody something and won't take no for an answer. If he only knew that Link was the only one in here with cash value, he'd leave the rest of us alone. What's all this? Inquired Flats. That's the confetti family from the shredder. Everyone perked up when they came raining down on us. It was quite a party. Perry, the flexible straw, landed high on the heap and has been able to look where no one has looked before. Recently, he spotted a red constellation in the sky, named it Exit. He also saw the northern lights with green, then yellow, then red. He saw shooting stars that went from one side to the other and back again, over and over. He said it all looked so beautiful reflecting off the top of the sky. I'd like to get a look at that, exclaimed Flats. Me too, said Sweets, but for now we'll have to rely on that skinny sucker to be our eyes. Well, it's been interesting meeting these characters and getting a look at this cylindrical world of yours, but I just don't have anything left inside of me to give, and I don't know what to do. You know that our time here is limited, Sweets pointed out. How limited? Asked Flats. I have been told that when this canyon starts to fill up, it's a sure sign that our time in here is almost over. And it won't be long till this place goes topsy-turvy and everyone in here pours out, never to be seen again. So is that it? Is there nothing else? We just disappear? I don't know, said Sweets, but there is someone who could tell us more. He has lived many lifetimes in this canyon, hanging on through countless cataclysms and catastrophes, and has known generations of inhabitants. He's our wise man, our prophet, our sage. He is known as Pops. But when you are in his presence, say nothing, and whatever you do, don't stare at him. Just don't stare at him. Okay, I won't. What's so bad about looking? Asked Flats. You see, he was chewed up pretty badly before he got stuck in here. Now he stays at the bottom and rarely speaks to anyone. But when he does, he says a mouthful. Everyone cleared the way so that the two pilgrims could approach this icon, and then they saw him. On the bottom, no shape, no features, no distinguishing marks, just a blob. Sweets hesitated, then said, excuse me, sir, sorry to disturb you. With all due respect, I have someone with me who has come a long way and yet is lost. He doesn't know what to think or what to do. Could you help him? You could have heard a pin drop, if a pin dropped, as everyone waited. Then a muffled chewing sound came from within the shapeless mass as it started moving and stretching. Air could be heard rushing into it as a bubble began to form at the center, growing twice its size with every breath. A face took shape, and then two eyes peered out through heavy lids, and then they heard, "Heed my words. Do what good you can. As long as you can, while you live in this can." Then the giant bubble popped, and he was gone. Wow, said Flats. He sure knows how to make a point. Sweets replied, and he knows how to make an exit. The end. Thank you.
One more hand, please, for Steve Salmon.